Hello, and welcome to Torah in Motion's MP3 audio library. We hope you enjoy this recording of a live Torah in Motion presentation. For more information, please visit www.torahinmotion.org. Thank you.
Today's topic, a topic I chose, is Jewish reasons to be miserable. I'm Jewish and I'm miserable, and I have my reasons. If ever there was a time to be miserable, well, this is the time. There's a popular Jewish song that says, Mitzvah Gedola Liot B'Simcha Tamid. It's a big mitzvah to always be besimcha, to always be happy. I must confess, today, I wasn't mekayem that mitzvah very much. And not only that, I sort of had the feeling that you're not supposed to be that happy today. That on Tisha B'Av, it's a time for people to specifically be unhappy. We go out of our way to make ourselves unhappy, to try doing all kinds of things to make ourselves miserable. So if you want, you could perhaps say that the actual Mishnah in Meseches Tainis says, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atim B'Simcha, that when Av arrives, you lessen the amount of Simcha that you have. It doesn't say do away with it altogether, just Mima'atim B'Simcha. Have a little bit less of it. But nonetheless, the exuberant statement of Mitzvah Gedol, Liot B'Simcha Tamid, big mitzvah to always be happy. Try finding out where the source of it is. It's not something that you can find in Chazal. It's not something you can find in the Gemara. It'd be hard-pressed to try finding it in Mishnah. It's not listed as one of the 613 mitzvahs. The whole mitzvah of being besimcha, being happy, where does it come from? Specifically, we can say that as Jewish people, much of our existence has been marked by a lack of simcha, by a lack of happiness, by misery. It's only kind of recently that the whole idea of Jewish people being upbeat and being besimcha, feeling good about things, it's only recently come about. In the first Zionist Congress, in 1897, one of the speakers that was there is a person named Max Nordau. And he gave a report on the condition of worldwide Jewry. How are the Jews in the world doing? Since then, in the World Zionist Congress, they've always given the report of how the Jews in the world are doing. And he said that this picture of the Jewish world can only be painted in one color. Everywhere where the Jews have settled in comparatively large numbers amongst the nations, Jewish misery prevails. It's not the ordinary misery which is probably the unalterable fate of mankind. It's a peculiar misery, which the Jews do not suffer as human beings, but as Jews, and from which they would be free were they not Jews. And he goes on to elaborate. He says that Jewish misery has two forms, the material and the moral. In Eastern Europe, in North Africa, Western Asia, the vast majority, probably 9/10 of the Jewish people live there. The misery of the Jews is understood quite literally. The daily distress of the body, anxiety for every following day, and the painful struggle, the fight to maintain a bare existence. That's what misery is. For most Jews, he said in 1897, a little more than 100 years ago, you don't got to go far to go for Tisha B'Av. Every day is Tisha B'Av. You don't have to go far to find Jewish misery. It's always miserable. He said, in Western Europe, things are somewhat better, and the struggle for existence has been made somewhat lighter for them. Although, as of late, it's been still difficult. The question is less of food and shelter, the security of life. There, it's a moral question. How to live as Jewish people in a Western country. And so, in the first Zionist Congress in 1897, confronted with the idea of Jewish misery, which wasn't even considered a question by anybody. It was just considered to be normal, matter of course. Of course, as Jewish people, we're miserable, he said. And by the way, Max Nordau, originally known as Shimon Sudfeld, he got a little fancier when he moved west, came from a religious family, and he meant misery in its most clearest sense. Jewish people living in the East, Jewish people living, the Hamon Am of Jewish people, they're miserable, they're sad. And it's not just a matter of morally struggling, but rather basic existence. How do we get by in life? How do we eat? How do we not get killed? That was the concept of Jewish misery. In yesterday's parsha, I know we're not supposed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, it makes us too happy, but I'll risk it. In yesterday's parsha was Parshas Devarim. And in Parshas Devarim, the Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to the Jewish people, the new generation of Jewish people, after 40 years in the desert, after 40 years in the Midbar. These people, the younger generation, they hadn't really felt the Shibud Mitzrayim. They hadn't really been there for the Matan Torah. Their parents had. And he's trying to convey to them the message of going into the land of Israel. And it's interesting that Parsha starts off, Mishnah Torah starts off by referring to it as Devarim. Devarim can mean words, and Devarim can also mean items. A davar, a thing. One of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, is that when they're going into the land of Israel, things are going to be a little bit different. They're actually going into the land of Israel proper. They're going to experience things different than their forefathers did. That until then, the Word of God was a word. But now they're going to see it with their eyes. That things are moving from Devarim, from abstraction, from the abstract ideas of what it means to be a Jewish person, to the reality. That until then, abstractly, people would know about certain mitzvahs. They'd learn about the mitzvahs atluyos ba'aretz. They'd learn about the land of Israel. They'd learn about what it means to be a normal people. But now, he tells the new generation, it's going to be devarim. Actuality. It's going to be more normal. I believe that this difference that we have as Jewish people, the ability to switch back and forth between being abstract Jews and being concrete Jews, has been a real strength and a difficulty for us as a people. That on the one hand, in many instances, even though things might be materially very, very bad for the Jewish people, they might still be able to say they're happy, they're not necessarily miserable. I'm not sure if all 9/10 of the Jewish people were as miserable as Mr. Nordau said. I'm sure there must be some people that found simcha, that found happiness. Even if their lives weren't necessarily that great, materially, nonetheless, they were able to abstract. Our forefathers, what they were able to do was take their Judaism, take their Yiddishkeit and abstract things somewhat. Be able to say, yes, we may not have the actual land of Israel, but nonetheless, we have abstract concepts that relate to the land of Israel. People were learning mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. People were learning about the land of Israel, and they were getting a chiyus. They were getting life through this. This in itself gave a certain amount of joy. It gave a certain amount of happiness. An abstract happiness. I may not have something, but I can think about it. I can use the words to express it. And in many ways, the concept of something can actually be a lot more interesting, a lot more pleasurable than the actual thing itself. But then we also have concrete. We also have the land of Israel itself. You can go there, you can visit it, you can look down on it. I know somebody was just recently in the land of Israel, and he was all upset that there was dirt covering his car. Dirt covering his car, a big sandstorm. Dirt covered his car. He's upset, needs a car wash. And somebody pointed out, no, this is the dirt from the land of Israel. People in Chutz La'aretz specifically take pouches of this stuff to be buried in. And you're worried about it because it's messing up your car. Over there in the land of Israel, they have the actuality. They have something concrete. What perhaps we might be seeing these days is a switching back and forth of Jewish people not really being too sure. How do we take our understanding of Judaism? Is it something which is abstract or is it something which is concrete? Is our connection with the land of Israel, is it complete, is it not complete? This uncertainty makes us, we're not really sure how to deal with things. Happiness. When you talk about happiness, when you talk about misery, we can manage it in many different ways. We can talk about a national happiness, a national joy, the physical, the emotional joy. We can talk about our personal physical and emotional joy. And in many ways, trying to relate to the two of them may not necessarily work the same. Shortly before Tisha B'Av, a person might have a very great personal simcha. He's happy. It's Tisha B'Av. I don't care. I'm happy. Nonetheless, the Jewish people as a whole are miserable. We may know of instances when the Jewish people as a whole can be rejoicing, but one person, Nebuch, is suffering. Anybody's had to go through the experience, you should know from it, of losing a loved one shortly before Yom Tov. Person's not even allowed to sit Shiva until after Yom Tov. You lose a person on Yom Tov. You have to be Mesameach. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is Besimcha. The Jewish people are happy, so we have to be happy along with them. Have to join along with it. There is our personal joy and misery. There's national joy and misery. Being able to identify between the two of them, being able to differentiate between the two of them, is an important one to make. When it says in the Torah, when the reason we're commemorating Tisha B'Av may not necessarily be because of our personal misery. We may actually be having things pretty well. We may be having things good. As a result, we have to abstract the misery. We have to make ourselves think about sad things. We have to make ourselves think about sad thoughts. The person is actually, Baruch Hashem, things are going very well in their life. You can say to yourself, well, it's a nice day. I'm living here in Toronto. Baruch Hashem, things seem to be going okay. Yeah, sure, I know some relatives in Gush Katif, but hey, that's not really my issue. In fact, things seem to be going, Baruch Hashem, all right for me. Personally, think, great, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, all the good things. On Tisha B'Av, we're commanded to abstract the misery. To actually say, listen, for a while, try to make yourself unhappy. The Jewish people as a whole are suffering. Do what you can in order to make yourself miserable. Rav Soloveitchik points out the difference between personal avelus and national avelus in this way. He says that for personal avelus, it starts off with aninus, continues with shiva, shloshim, shana. But gradually things get easier and easier as time goes on. With national avelus, we started off with the 3 weeks. We moved to the 9 days, Erev Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av itself, things get more and more difficult. The difference is that for national tragedy, we have to work ourselves up to it. We have to actually make ourselves upset. We have to try to make ourselves miserable a little bit. Personally, it may not be the case, but in order to connect to the Jewish people as a whole, that's something that's sometimes necessary. Back to the original question. Mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid. It's a big mitzvah to always be happy. It's a big mitzvah to always be happy. Does it mean for the Jewish people as a whole? Does it mean for us individually? Does such a pasuk exist? Let's look at the sources. In Tehillim it says, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. We have to worship Hashem besimcha. It also says, V'gilu berada, we have to rejoice in trembling. V'gilu berada, be happy while trembling. Be happy, just be nervous while you're happy. Chassidus Rebbe explained what this means is dancing with a child on your shoulders. You can dance, just be careful. Don't get too wild. Still have a baby on your shoulders. Don't get too excited. The concept of simcha, the concept of happiness is there, but not entirely. You'll never find, and perhaps this is the reason why you don't have a mitzvah of simcha said in the Torah straight out, that mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid. It's not necessarily so. There is a mitzvah in the Torah that says that there's a mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha, to be happy on holidays. It also points out, lifnei Hashem, that it specifically has to be before God. The Vilna Gaon points out that this mitzvah, the mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov, he says it's the most difficult mitzvah in the entire Torah to keep. Whole Torah, mitzvah of simchas Yom Tov, the most difficult to keep? So yeah, because imagine, going through a full 8 days of Yom Tov without ever being unhappy. It kills you. I want to be miserable just for a little bit. That's not the way it works. Rav Yosef of Jikatila, he said that it's the way of the world. That just like you need light and darkness, you have day and night, so also you have happiness and you have sadness. And you can't have one without the other. That you need to have a time for simcha and you need to have a time for sadness. We need to have it nationally, we need to have it personally. If we didn't have a Tisha B'Av, we'd have a real problem. When is the time for sadness? When's the time for misery? Thank God, God, that we have this day, that we have a day for sadness. We have a day for misery. And as a matter of fact, being able to have both of these is something that goes all the way back to when the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar. It said that the Bnei Yisrael followed after Hashem when they went through the Midbar. In what manner did they follow after Hashem? So, well, it depends. When Hashem was, when it was during the day, Hashem was a pillar of cloud. When it was during the night, Hashem was a pillar of fire. And the Chassidish Rebbes point out, the reason why God appeared in two different forms is because it's saying that God relates to Jewish people in different ways, depending on what the mood is, depending on what the time is. When it's during the day, when things are going well for the Jewish people, the Spirit of God appears to them as a cloud, as something mysterious. We don't really know what Hashem is. You follow after it? What is God? I don't know. What's the reason for the mitzvah? I don't know. Just follow after it. It's a cloud. It's a mystery. But during times of sadness, during times of misery, it's a pillar of fire. God is something that lights the way. God is something that shows us which way we're supposed to be headed. A little bit scary, a little bit overwhelming, but nonetheless, it's something which shows us the light. It shows us how we should follow. It's interesting how religious people get when it comes to sad events, when it comes to sad times. People who don't observe any other mitzvahs in the Torah when it comes, Rachman al-Itzlan, to a time of Shiva and Shloshim, time to Saint Kaddish, people become very religious. It's a time of sadness. The fire in many ways appeals in a much greater sense. In many ways you can actually say that this difference between fire and between fire and the pillar of cloud is a difference between reality and abstraction. Of the two of them, a pillar of smoke, it's abstract. It's difficult to comprehend. Following God along in good times, when things are good, when it's just an abstraction, trying to be able to understand, it's difficult. Trying to follow God along when we don't have the land of Israel, it's difficult. In fire, it's much easier. You see that that's where it is. What we have now before us, we live in interesting times. It's an old curse. We live in interesting times. Well, we live them. People are still within living memory can remember the most horrible events that have ever happened to the Jewish people. People in living memory can remember the most wonderful events ever happened to the Jewish people. All happening at the same time. Is it a time for happiness? Is it a time for sadness? Is it a time when our joy is something meant to be abstracted? Or is it a time when our joy is going to be something concrete? How should we be feeling? I don't know. It's difficult to know. Koheles, somebody who had a lot to say about happiness, he said that happiness is something which is kind of pointless. Simcha, mazos asa. Simcha, happiness, what does it do? Leiv chachamim beveis avel, v'leiv ksilim beveis amishte. If you're a chacham, if you're a wise person, you'll spend your time in shiva houses, not go to simchas. Apparently, there are too many people at simchas anyway, from what I hear. You can learn more from a shiva house. Is this true? Is this in fact the case? That we can learn more from tragic events? Are tragic events something that we should be looking forward to? Recently I was in the land of Israel, and oh my goodness, people were very excited over there. People were saying a lot of different things. They were saying that this event, the events taking place in the land of Israel, beginning of a great tragedy. That's what I heard from some people. Beginning of a great tragedy. The end is now. Other people I spoke to said, no. The tragedy would be if these events don't take place. In either case, it's going to be a very, very serious thing, maybe. Or it'll be a very great thing. A lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty. We don't really know. Can we be hoping for happiness? Can we be hoping for sadness? The Torah, whenever we don't know things, we oftentimes look in halacha. We look in the source of Jewish law. And we try finding, is there in fact a mitzvah to be happy? Well, the mitzvah to be happy is something that we only have on Yom Tov. The mitzvah on Tisha B'Av, it's a time to be sad. feeling sad is something which is appropriate today. They say, what makes a person happy? What makes a person sad? Well, learning Torah is something that makes a person happy. If we learn Torah, we'll be happy. If we don't learn Torah, we won't be happy. Another thing that makes a person happy, according to the Torah, l'yishrei lev, straightforward thinkingness. Yashar lev, being straight. That's something that gives simcha. L'yishrei lev simcha. Those people that whose hearts are yashar, who aren't fredreit, they'll be happy. They have a reason for joy. But then I find another halacha. Halacha which comes from a Gemara in Brachas. A Gemara which is somewhat perplexing, which may actually shed light on the times in which we live, and perhaps in all times. Gemara says as follows. Gemara says, Avad Ravashi, Ravashi Avad Hilul Lebrei. Ravashi made a wedding for his son. Chazinu Rabbanan Dekavabad Chetuva. He saw that the Rabbanan, they were being too happy about it. That everyone was rejoicing at this wedding too much. So I see Kasa de Zugisa Chiyurta Betavar Kamayu. He took a cup made out of white glass and he broke it. Hence the custom of breaking a glass at a wedding. He broke it in front of them, Vi'iyatsu, when they got sad. Such an expensive item. Being broken, it made them sad, it made them stop. Amar le Rabbanan le Rav Hamnuna Zuti Mihilula Damar Bere Rabina. In a similar case, the Rabbanan said to Rav Hamnuni Zuta at his son's wedding, Lishralon Mar, they said to him, ooh, you're at a wedding, let's be a little bit happy, sing a song. Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Vailon Demasnan, Vailon Demasnan, woe is to us that we will die, woe is to us that we will die. You don't want him at your parties. Amar Leh, so they said to him, listen, this is a wedding. Anon man ani basrach, what can we respond after this? Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Hai Torah v'hai mitzvah demignu alon. What about the, he said, we have Torah and we have mitzvahs, that's something that might protect us. It's a great ambivalence. Under happy circumstances, when there's joy, the Rabbanan were nervous. It made them unhappy. It made them nervous, and they actually looked for situations, they looked for occasions to be miserable. You're at a wedding. Cheer up a little bit. No, I don't want to cheer up a little bit. V'aylon demasnon. I'm going to break a glass. I'm going to try to be a little bit unhappy. Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Asu la'odam shi'malei schok piv bo'olam hazeh. He states it in halachic terms. He says it's asur, it's forbidden for a person, l'malei schok piv bo'olam hazeh, to be completely happy in this world. Not only is it not advisable, but it's asur. There's something forbidden. What about mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid? No, he's not saying that. He's saying it's asur to be entirely happy. Shinemar, as it says in the Torah, as it says in Tehillim, in Shir HaMalos, Oz Yamale Ischok Pinu Ul Shenenu Rina. Then, in the end of days, Yamale Ischok Pinu, our mouths will be filled with laughter, Ul Shenenu Rina, and our tongues with rejoicing. Amosai, when is that going to be? Bizman Shiyomru Bagoyim Higdil Hashem Lasus Imela. When even the Goyim, when the non-Jews will say, God has done good for his nation. So, what Rav Yochanan is saying is that, and I believe this is a lesson for all times, that it's forbidden for a person to be entirely happy. Which times do we live in? How are we supposed to feel? Well, according to halacha, whether we're feeling a little bit better or a little bit worse, there always has to be an underlying something of misery. Omer Olav, then the Gemara says something strange. It says, Omer Olav al Reish Lakish, they say about Reish Lakish, Shemiyam av lo mala ischok piv ba'olam hazeh mechishem Rav Yochanan Rabbe. That from the time he heard that, he never again was fully happy. Which is a strange thing, because if in fact it's a halacha category, what do you mean? It's only for him. Only Rav Reish Lakish wouldn't do this. Other people wouldn't listen to this halacha. So the Ritva points out that not being happy is something, telling people to be miserable, it's not for everybody. Telling people that you have to not be so happy, but nonetheless, the lesson of the Gemara is still there. The lesson of the Gemara that it's forbidden for a person to be too happy, they still said it. There's another Gemara in Brachas which talks about moods. And it talks about tefillah. And it tells you that when it comes to being miserable, that's also not the answer. That even though it's usher to be entirely happy, it's usher to be entirely sad as well. It says, "Ein omdim lehispalel." If a person wants to pray, the only way they're not allowed to pray is lo mitoch atzvus. You're not allowed to pray while sad. Lo mitoch atzlus, not out of laziness. Lo mitoch chok, not out of laughter either. Or sicha, or conversation, or kalus rosha, lightheadedness. Lo mitoch dvarim betelim. When a person prays, it shouldn't be out of nothingness. Lo mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. But rather, a person should be simcha shel mitzvah, the happiness of mitzvah. They qualify what simcha is. That the only simcha that they understand and can appreciate is a simcha shel mitzvah. Is happiness that has to do with a mitzvah. Similarly, the Rambam says, Kol hanavim, all of the prophets of the Jewish people, Einam misnabim b'chol eisha yirtzu, they couldn't prophesize whenever they wanted, but rather, Machavnim daitum v'yoshim b'smeichim, they had to make themselves happy first before they can experience prophecy. And the Rambam actually goes on to say that in order to make themselves happy, they had to summon musicians. In the case of Yitzchak, he had to have good food. Make yourself happy externally to make yourself happy internally in order to be able to do prophecy, in order to experience the Spirit of God. So hold on, so what am I actually, I'm getting confused myself. What am I saying? Is it a mitzvah to be happy? Is it a mitzvah to be sad? It seems that there's a mitzvah to be both. That a person should never be too happy, that a person should never be too sad. That the happiness that a person experiences has to somehow be related to the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That during this time of the year, even on Tisha B'Av, there has to be a certain amount of sadness. We have to take away the accoutrements of happiness. We have to take away Torah learning. Took away tefillin this morning. Took away talis. Take away food. All the things that ordinarily make a person happy, but not entirely so. Not entirely so. We make concrete in order to make abstract. It says that there are some occasions when God will even cry. There are some occasions when God is even unhappy. And actually, interesting enough, it points out one of those occasions that once again they have to do with Torah. A person that could learn Torah and decides not to learn. This is an occasion when God cries. So some research has been done into happiness, trying to find out what makes people happy, what makes people sad, whether or not Max Nordau was correct in saying that the Jewish people were living in misery. Whether we ourselves are living in misery, whether we should be living in misery, what the mood of the Jewish people should be. Essentially what it says is that happiness, in order to try to understand what happiness is, that happiness is something that looks forward. Happiness is something that thinks about the future. Consequently, the happiness that we experience all has to do with the present actions, the present way in which we not are but view the future. Consider for yourselves, if you take a person who's in a mansion, wonderful house, living a very luxurious life, and you tell them that tomorrow you're going to prison. Tomorrow, in 24 hours, you're going to prison for the rest of your life. The person living in the mansion is going to be sad. He's going to be miserable. He's going to be unhappy. Even if you say to him, well, look at right now, things seem to be going okay for you. Doesn't matter. Well, look what's going to happen. Conversely, take a person in prison and tell him, tomorrow things are going to be wonderful, amazing. He'll be happy right now. Because happiness is not where you are, it's where you think you're gonna be. It's where you look to the future. I can tell you personally, I think I'm happier now on Tisha B'Av than I was yesterday thinking about Tisha B'Av. Because what was gonna happen, well, no, a whole day of Tisha B'Av, now I'm thinking, it's gonna be over soon, it's okay, I can get through this a little bit. What's gonna be is where happiness is. Where you are doesn't really matter that much. We can abstract very well. The physical misery that Max Nordau was talking about, it mattered. But you know what? It all more depended on where the Jewish people thought they were going to be. And I think this is the source of the uncertainty, the source of the confusion for the Jewish people. There have been others who have done research on happiness, and they say that happiness is not a thing in itself that you can actually attain by simply grabbing it. Happiness isn't something that's pursued, but rather it's something that ensues while pursuing a worthwhile goal. That when a person is working with all of their koiches, working with all their efforts and energies in order to try to attain something they believe is worthwhile, during that period of time, you're quite happy. You're enjoying yourself. I'm working hard at this. And I feel like I'm getting there. And it's interestingly enough, it doesn't even matter what it is. Whether a person feels as if they're being very successful in their work, there's simcha, there's happiness that's there. I'm building a business. A simcha when a person is working hard toward creating an event, simcha is happiness because I'm making it happen and it's happening. I'm using my koiches, I'm using my efforts, using my energies, and I'm making things better for myself. It can't be too hard. If it's too hard, there's a sense of futility, a sense of pointlessness. It can't be too easy. What's the challenge in that? It has to be something. Happiness is like sweat. It's something that happens while you're busy working hard at something else. It comes about on the side. I believe this explains all of the Gemaras. This explains all the uncertainty. Is there a mitzvah gedol liyos besimcha tamid? Of course. Can you actually say, okay, well, now I just forced it to happen? No. Ein simcha, ela simcha shel mitzvah. The only type of simcha, the only type of happiness that can come about is when doing a mitzvah. Because we believe as Jewish people, what is our worthwhile goal? What is the only goal that we can have? The only worthwhile goal, the only goal worth having is for tzidkus, for kirvas elokim, for closeness to God, as individuals and as a nation. That's the only thing that really matters. Why do we care if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Who cares? A long time ago. What do we care about the people that were killed? That's sad, but it would have happened anyway. They would have died anyway at some point. Because what the event represents to us, what the event shows us, is that even at a Yom HaZeh, even until today, there's richuk from Elohim. We're far away from God. We're far away from God. And that much of what we do, we sense it's futile. In all of the workings and all of the labors and all of the days of our lives, what we do is it actually brings us closer to God. Well, depends on the day. So if we're looking for simcha, if we're looking for happiness, we're looking forward. We're looking at what's going to be. And it comes about when we feel as if we're progressing toward that state. When we're progressing toward achieving that. That's what gives us the greatest simcha. As Jewish people, when we're working hard in order to try to build a nice Jewish family, you feel that there's... What can be better than that? This is one of the greatest goods that we can possibly do. It's a mitzvah. You feel good when this is actually taking place. Beautiful Jewish family. And I work so hard every day, going to work, having to schlep, having to sweat, having to make this happen, and it's finally happening. Ah, that feels good. It's a good experience. That's simcha. There's happiness. And the happiness isn't just at that moment. It isn't just at the chasana, but rather, it's in the lead-up toward it. It's in all the working that goes toward it. The actual event itself, well, that's nice, but it's transitory. It happens, it's finished, it's over, you can look at the pictures after. But the actual lead-up, the working hard toward it, that's where the simcha is. And knowing that it's a worthwhile event, knowing that this is something important that we're working toward, that's where the simcha comes to. It can also be experienced in a smaller type of way. Little children playing with games, trying to win the game. It's a pointless game, but nonetheless, trying to win, trying to play the game. That's where simcha, that's where happiness comes about. On a Yom Tov, one of the interesting things you often find is that they say you shouldn't do laundry during the 9 days because you want to be sad. And you shouldn't do laundry during Chol HaMoed because you want to be happy. Well, one second, is laundry doing a joyous experience or not? I'm trying to figure... No, it's neither of those. What it is, it's distracting from what you're meant to be feeling. And being distracted isn't what you want to happen. On Yom Tov can be a high-stress time, but nonetheless, despite the fact that Yom Tov, Pesach, very difficult, very painful time, cleaning, all the rest of it, we all know what goes into it. But nonetheless, we feel we're doing this for a worthwhile goal. We're doing this for a great, for the moment at the Seder. We're doing this because it's a mitzvah. We're doing this to transmit the heritage of our people over to the next generation. We know that Pesach is a great time, and the happiness goes along with the difficulty. The happiness goes along with the painful feeling of having to get all this accomplished. In Tisha B'Av, the sadness is the sense that all this difficulty, all this effort, what's it for? Is anything actually going to come from it? We try absenting ourselves from mitzvahs. We try taking mitzvahs away from ourselves. We take away, we don't have tefillin. We don't have talis. If Tisha B'Av was truly observed, it would be a day like any day on the beach. They do nothing really. Chazal want us to focus, and they want us to focus on nothingness. They want us to focus on the absence of a godly life. They want us to focus on, well, if you don't have God in your lives, then what else do you have? Not a whole lot. What is it? What are we working for? What are we striving for? What are all of our efforts for? Which is why we even have to cut the day a little bit short. They already say in the afternoon you can sit on benches. Already in the afternoon you can start to lift yourself up a little bit out of avelus. Because we can't go a full day like that. It's impossible. How can you live in void? How can you live in nihilism? How can you live in nothingness for that long? Such a thing, it's impossible. Most Jewish holidays, it's better to experience them in the land of Israel. Really, you go to the land of Israel, you feel the Yom Tov. I'd say Tisha B'Av is the opposite. Tisha B'Av, you're in the land of Israel. I'm in the land of Israel. Things feel good. Things feel exciting. When we're far away from the land of Israel, here we're experiencing Tisha B'Av. And if you're further away from a shul, when you're away and there's absolutely nothing going on, well, that's Tisha B'Av L'Mahadrin. That's when Tisha B'Av is at its best, when you have absolutely no connection. When there's a sadness saying, I'm working hard and what for? I don't seem to be accomplishing anything. That emptiness is Tisha B'Av. There are indeed Jewish reasons to be miserable. And the Jewish reasons to be miserable are being far away from Hashem, are being far away from God. The Jewish reasons for being miserable are similar to non-Jewish reasons for being miserable. Feeling as if all of the work that I've done is for nothing. Today in the land of Israel, there are many people, thousands of people, who have felt that all of their efforts for many, many years have gone for nothing. Whether you agree with the politics or not, the Tisha B'Av that they're feeling is that what did we suffer so much for if you're giving it all away? We were working hard, we were living here, we were giving all this energy, sacrificing ourselves, sacrificing our lives, because we believed in something. And now it's just going. And now it's just being gone. Happiness is something that looks forward. Happiness is something that thinks about the future. I believe that if you could demonstrate to everybody that what you're sacrificing now, something good definitely will come from this, people would feel comforted. People would be willing to do a lot. The B'nai Yisrael were willing to walk 40 years in the desert because they knew the promised land was at the end. But it'd be difficult to take 10 steps for no reason whatsoever. Looking for Jewish reasons to be miserable. A Jewish reason to be miserable is not having a mitzvah. There are plenty of miserable Jewish people. Not having mitzvahs might be a big source of it. Because we can suffer anything. As a Jewish people, we have been through so much. To turn what Max Nordau said on its head, I believe that those Jewish people who were living in misery, they were looking forward to Mashiach. Despite their physical misery, they were able to look forward and say, we know that in 100 years' time, things will be better. The other 5% didn't have that faith, didn't have that belief. Well, their misery is probably more acute. Their misery was probably more difficult. Today is Tisha B'Av, a time for sadness, a time for misery, a time of nothingness, a time when we feel the absence, what it feels like to actually be away from mitzvahs, what it actually feels to be away from meaning in our lives. We hope and pray that our efforts, that what we do, what we work hard, will somehow have meaning. That the mitzvahs that we do will somehow give towards God's greater glory. We hope and pray that the future will be more concrete. Because although we may live in times that, in many ways, are idyllic times, although we may not be lacking food, although we may have the land of Israel, although the power of the Jewish people is something that these days, perhaps the Goyim are even saying, wow, the Jewish people, they're powerful, they're mighty. Just recently read of somebody, a non-Jewish people, non-Jewish person, they wanted to change their name to a Jewish name because they thought it might give them an advantage. Baruch Hashem, we live in such times. But for us to be truly happy, we need the Beis HaMikdash. For us to be truly happy, we have to be able to look toward the future and say, things are established well in their place. We should be zocha, we should merit to experience those times soon in our day. Thank you.